A scathing grand jury report about clergy sexual abuse of children in Pennsylvania was released today. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. The report details decades of alleged misconduct and cover-up in six of the state's eight Roman Catholic dioceses: Allentown, Scranton, Harrisburg, Greensburg, Erie, and Pittsburgh, implicating 300 so-called predator priests statewide. Attorney General Josh Shapiro had harsh words for the church today at a press conference in Harrisburg.
The pattern was abuse, deny, and cover up. The effect not only victimized children, it served a legal purpose that church officials manipulated for their advantage. The longer they covered it up, the less chance law enforcement could prosecute these predators because the statute of limitations would run.
Joining me now to discuss is Kevin McCrory, editor of Keystone Crossroads, WHYY's statewide reporting project. And Kevin, let's start with this long-awaited grand jury report. What did it find?
So it's a roughly 900-page report that's thought to be the most comprehensive of its kind anywhere in the country. And it paints a very horrid portrait of activity that occurred in the diocese that you mentioned going back at least 80 years. It implicates these 300, quote, predator priests statewide in hundreds of parishes in 54 of Pennsylvania's 67 counties. The grand jury said it reviewed 500,000 pages of internal church documents and secret archives, and it found credible allegations by more than 1,000 victims, but believes the real number is in the thousands. The bulk of the activity described within that investigation does fall outside of Pennsylvania's statute of limitations for sexual crimes, and clergy members, both named and currently blacked out of the report, are not expected to face criminal charges.
Kevin, what specifics come to mind?
Well, there's some hard things in there. Like I mentioned, one priest in the Diocese of Harrisburg allegedly abused five sisters in a single family. Another in the Diocese of Greensburg is said to have impregnated a 17-year-old girl, married her, and then divorced her months later. A priest in the Diocese of Erie allegedly admitted to assaulting at least a dozen boys, and the bishop later thanked him for, quote, all that you have done for God's people. Shapiro highlighted much of this in the press conference. It was an impassioned 45-minute event that began with a pre-produced video featuring some of the victims who testified before the grand jury. Here, we're about to hear from 37-year-old Caroline Fortney and 48-year-old Sean Dougherty.
Just think, like, the word God makes me think of him, and I just...
You're being groomed to get used to a grown man's hands, you know, on you regularly.
So he would always have his hands on me.
When you have the priest touching you every day, you know, that's a hard memory to have.
Kevin, I believe this report was 2 years in the making. Give us some of the background and why it took so long to come out.
Well, it was a long investigation, first and foremost, and the grand jury had to go through, like we said, you know, 500,000 documents and so much testimony and, you know, heard from so many witnesses there. And then once we got to the point where we thought the report was going to come out in late June, there started to be objections. Now, the diocese themselves didn't publicly fight the release, but some of the clergy named in the report slowed it down with legal objections. They say it's unconstitutional for a grand jury to disclose individual names without actually charging people with crimes. And that's become kind of a debate in general about grand juries through this story. Now, the PA Supreme Court agreed with that idea, at least in interim way. And they said, well, what we're going to do is put out a report that redacts the names of any of the clergy who made objections. And that's what we got today. Now, meanwhile, some of the current bishops of these parishes have been apologizing. And the grand jury specifically praised the Erie bishop, Lawrence Persico, acknowledging past abuse, unmasking the abusers, and encouraging accountability.
Today, I pledge the following two victims. The Diocese of Erie will not shroud abusers in secrecy, no matter who they are or how long ago the abuse has occurred.
Kevin, what might we expect going forward?
Well, the grand jury made recommendations that will be sure to reignite conversations in the state legislature around all this. It said that sexual abuse of a minor should have no criminal statute of limitations. So that would put it on the same plane as murder, where you could file a criminal complaint anytime. The grand jury also said that people who were abused in the past should have a 2-year window to retroactively file civil legislation to seek financial damages. Now, that's very controversial. The church has always opposed that sort of idea, and they say that would cause many of their dioceses to go bankrupt. I'd also expect this to spark a new conversation among Catholics about what they think the church will do and should do about all this. Our reporter Lindsay Lazarski went to the Allentown Diocese today to speak with parishioners. She met Mary Ann Chickie, who is a devout Catholic who goes to daily Mass and has several priests in her family.
This is one of the biggest things that stops people from becoming Catholics, or our biggest problem as Catholics. Every religion has something, but boy, oh boy, I know this is a biggie.
The other thing to watch for is that Attorney General Shapiro wants a version of this report released without redactions. And so the PA Supreme Court is going to hear legal proceedings on all those questions in September.
And Kevin, you will be among the guests tomorrow morning at 10 on Radio Times with Marty Moscow-Wayne, further probing this report.
That's correct.
Kevin McCrory is editor of our Keystone Crossroads Project. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Dave.
Let's get more perspective on this topic. Joining me next is Rocco Palmo, a Philadelphia-based writer who runs Whispers in the Loggia, a prominent blog about the Catholic Church. Rocco, welcome back to Newsworks tonight.
Thanks, Dave.
Your entry in the blog today is entitled, In Pennsylvania Church, the Weaponization of Faith. Expand on that title.
That is one of the many searing comments we heard from the Attorney General earlier today, Dave. It's sex abuse is a story that goes back 40 years across the Catholic world, beginning in Ireland, where the Pope is actually going next week, even before the U.S. But outside of a state inquiry in Australia and two in Ireland 10 years ago, global church has never seen anything like this. So the impact of this is ricocheting not just around the state, but around American Catholicism and even beyond already.
To the extent that you've had time to digest at least highlights of this some 900-page report, what jumped out at you?
I think just the detail of it, the shattering graphic nature of it, the scope. I mean, this is a grand jury that did its work. And interestingly, I mentioned Bishop Persico of Erie earlier. Persico has really been the most outspoken figure in the Commonwealth of the six bishops here. And he's the only one who accepted an invitation to testify to the grand jury. And, it's what happens from here. It's, again, as Kevin said, there's that major fight of the statute of limitations. But in many ways, this report is going to change the power dynamic of the American church, because perhaps the most prominent figure, living figure, still active, implicated in an alleged cover-up is Cardinal Donald Wuerl, who was the Bishop of Pittsburgh for 20 years until 2006 and is now the Archbishop of Washington and a major advisor to Pope Francis. Wuerl is arguably seen as one of the two most powerful Americans at Francis's side. He's already past the retirement age of 75, but he's... the hits the world's been taking today just from Catholic commentators and from the contents of the report are, again, just staggering.
Why, in your estimation, is it so seemingly difficult for the church to really get ahead of this story and put it to bed, not the allegations, but to move forward so that this doesn't happen in the future?
Well, again, this is the kind of process that if the church tried doing internally, it wouldn't be seen as credible, I think. If anything, this is the most or another intense piece. I mean, we're back at 2002 again, where, when the scandals first erupted in Boston, you had the Spotlight team, and then it became a national scandal of abuse and cover-up. But if anything, I think a key piece of this is that in 2002, when the U.S. bishops enacted what's called the Dallas Charter, zero tolerance norms, one strike and you're out, in terms of an abuse of a minor. They didn't finish the job in terms of enforcing accountability upon themselves, and they didn't, in terms of what lay people can expect in terms of the transparency and all of that. Now, because of the, not related to this, but it's been a kind of perfect storm, if you will, the allegations against now Archbishop Theodore McCarrick, the first member of the College of Cardinals to resign in 100 years, the first ever to resign over allegations of abuse of a minor and misconduct with adults and seminarians and young priests. This has forced the question. And I'll tell you, I've been covering this story for 15 years since it broke in Boston, and I have never seen the anger and the demands for purification, penance on the part of church leadership and real concrete change as intense as they've been the last 24 hours.
Is that intensity being heard and understood at the Vatican?
I think it is. You have to remember it's August. So, you know, they say the only things left in Rome in August are Connie and Americani, dogs and American tourists. But again, next week we're going to see arguably the Pope's most significant head-on collision with a country, you know, completely decimated by sex abuse in the church when Francis goes to Ireland for 2 days. You know, it's as of today, because of the McCarrick situation, but now this grand jury dropped right in the middle of it. The leadership of the U.S. bishops were holding crisis talks in Washington. We have not yet had a statement from those talks. They were supposed to extend through the afternoon. So again, this is, you know, this is obviously a report that goes back 70 years, and it's not the kind of thing where the resolution is going to be seen overnight. This is going to take time. One thing I'm intrigued to see is, given several deputies to bishops, Pennsylvania bishops who were named in the report, one of them is the Bishop of Allentown, Al Schlert, who was the COO of the diocese there for 20 years, the current Bishop of Pittsburgh, Dave Zubik, who was now Cardinal World's top deputy when World was Bishop of Pittsburgh. It's going to be interesting to see if they can maintain the confidence of their priests and of their people, because Francis has really changed the game in terms of, if you don't have the confidence of your people, you really can't effectively serve in office anymore. And these guys are younger than retirement age. So, again, that accountability and how it's enforced here is going to be one of the fascinating things going forward.
Rocco, thanks again for offering perspective on NewsWorks Tonight.
Anytime, Dave. Thank you.
Philadelphia-based writer Rocco Palmo runs Whispers in the Loggia, a prominent blog about the Catholic Church.